Hello, hello. Good to see everybody. Hope you can see me. Here's the thought. We have, as Moshe Rabbeinu is introduced or reintroduced to leadership, Hashem asks Moshe Rabbeinu, lead the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. Speak to Paro, he's going to refuse, but you will succeed eventually. We will succeed eventually. You will take the Jews out of Mitzrayim. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu do over and over and over again? He refuses. With one reason after another after another. And sometimes it's not a refusal, but it's a challenge. Moshe Rabbeinu at first says, who am I? Who are the that I should take the Jewish people out? Hashem says, I'll take care of it. You'll bring them to Har Sinai. Tells him what to do. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm going to speak to them. They're going to ask me, what's his name? Hashem says, I'll tell you my name. And he tells him one name. He tells him another name. Fine. Go to the leaders. Get the job going. They'll believe you. Moshe Rabbeinu says, they won't believe me. I just said they will believe you. And you're saying they won't believe you? And then after Hashem says, they will believe you. And here are some signs and miracles that you can show them so that they will believe you. Then Moshe Rabbeinu says, but I'm not a speaker, I can't speak. Hashem tells Moshe, who do you think gives people the ability to speak? If you can't speak, I know you can't speak. So then Moshe Rabbeinu finally just says, Shlach na biyat tishlach, which is a very difficult phrase to translate into English. The best we can do is, please send someone else. And finally, after all of this, Hashem, it says, gets angry at Moshe. But what does he do out of his anger? He says, you have a brother, Aaron, right? Well, I'll send Aaron. He's going to greet you. He'll be very happy for you that you've accepted this position of leadership. And Aaron will be your spokesperson. And then together, you will be the leader. Aaron will be your spokesman. And that's how you can handle everything. So what happened over here? I just summarized the entire conversation back and forth. Many people, myself included, have often read this, at least initially, as a sign of Moshe Rabbeinu's humility, that the Torah wants to tell us in the manner of praising leaders, to tell us that they did not really want the job, that they were so humble, and in fact later we learn, the Torah tells us in Sefer Bamidbar, in Parshas Baaloscha, that Moshe was the most humble person on the face of the earth. So we think that Moshe's repeated challenges and refusals are a sign of his humility. I'd like to suggest something else. And it's a careful reading of a comment that Rashi makes here. Moshe Rabbeinu says, today and yesterday and the day before and ever since we've spoken. From here Rashi concludes, and it's the Medrash, that Hashem and Moshe were talking this back and forth. They're not to just take the few minutes that it takes to read a couple of aliyahs. This back and forth took a full week. Can you imagine? A week's worth of a conversation. Why did this conversation happen? So Rashi sees the whole thing. Every refusal, every challenge, every hocking of a chinik. He sees it as follows. Let me read you the words. The chol ze, all of this, shelohaya rotza litol gedula al Aaron achiv. He did not want to take a greater position than Aaron, his brother. Shahaya gadol hemenu, Aaron who was greater than him. Now we can read this as that Aaron was older. V'navi haya, not only that, Aaron was a prophet. As it says, and Rashi quotes two verses, one from Shmuel, the other one from Yechezkel, that establishes that Aharon was a known Navi, prophet, even before Moshe Rabbeinu's career got started. And I think that little piece is worth exploring. Because it's not just, as some of the Balei Musar might want to suggest, that Moshe Rabbeinu did not want his brother to feel bad. Like, oh, my older brother, he's going to get offended if that his younger brother has taken this position. Aaron was a tzaddik. So just to say his feelings would be hurt doesn't cut it, because one, he's a tzaddik. Two, if Hashem is telling Moshe that he wants Moshe to do the job, then he has bigger considerations than Aaron's feelings being hurt. I understand that the school of thought of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, for example, would say that Moshe Rabbeinu would never take a position if it would mean hurting Aaron's feelings. But I think something much deeper is going on. What's going on? Aaron was a Navi. And where was he? He was in Mitzrayim. He was a Levi. He was a member of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. He was not taken into the royal palace. He did not grow up in the royal palace. And then he did not run away from the country at an early age. I'm not saying Moshe is at fault. He had to run away or he would have been killed. But what I'm saying is, and please appreciate this, Aaron HaLevi, as he was known at the time, was somebody who was a hands-on leader who had spent his life amongst the Jewish people, leading the Jewish people. He was a prophet to the Jewish people and suffering together with the Jewish people through the entire time. He was neither in Pharaoh's house nor was he in Yisro's house. He was there with Klal Yisrael as a Navi. Moshe Rabbeinu is in effect saying to Hashem, in all of the things that he says, everything from the very beginning, he's saying, why are you choosing me? Aaron is the obvious choice to take them out. He's been with them the whole time there in Mitzrayim. He has suffered with them the whole time. Even if you want to say that the tribe of Levi wasn't enslaved, that doesn't matter, because he was there as part of the oppressed Jewish people. So why would you take an outsider on every account? He is an outsider in terms of where he was brought up. Moshe, that is. Moshe Rabbeinu is an outsider in terms of where he spent the last many years of his life. According to one Medrash, the last 40 years, he wasn't even there. Why are you choosing me as an outsider? I don't speak the language. I'm not their natural speaker, which is what he says to them. I'm not the one who you usually send to speak to the Jews. Biat Tishlach means send the one you usually send. Meaning, when you usually have a message to deliver to Klal Yisrael, you send Aaron. Send him. That's the last thing that was said. I'm not a natural speaker. If you think about it, Moshe's knowledge of Hebrew was probably quite deficient by that time. He grew up speaking Egyptian. He had spent the last 40 years either in Cush or in Midian speaking with them, so he was not a natural speaker. When Moshe Rabbeinu said, they won't believe me, even though Rashi explains that Hashem's message to him at that point with the snake and with the leprosy, Tzaras, is Moshe Rabbeinu, how can you speak Lashon Hara? But from Moshe Rabbeinu's perspective, he says, why would they believe me? I'm an outsider. So you see, everything is built on this. Why hire someone new for the job coming from the outside when you can hire from within? And the advantage of hiring from within is that you're hiring from the local culture. In this case, the local culture of Klal Yisrael. And that was Aaron HaKohen. And if you think about everything that we know about Aaron from later in Chumash, somebody who's willing to compromise, someone who's willing to help people, someone who's a Ohev Shalom and Rodev Shalom, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying he is obviously the better choice. What does Hashem tell him? What does Hashem tell Moshe? Quite the twist. Because when Moshe says, I'm not a good speaker, Hashem doesn't then appoint Aaron. He says, I know you're not a good speaker. What Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, and if you follow word for word, and you also follow the Rashi's here, Hashem is telling Moshe, I know you're coming from the outside. I know you're not a good speaker to the locals. And that's exactly what I want. Because I have to break the status quo. Aaron, as great of a leader as he is, was there to help them through the status quo of their golus and their avdus and their slavery and oppression in Mizraim. I need someone to come from the outside and smash the status quo, Moshe. That's why I want you. It's only because Moshe Rabbeinu finally refuses, he says, send the person you usually send, that Hashem gets upset with him, and we'll discuss the upsetness at a later date. But he says, fine, Iron will be your spokesman, but I don't want Iron to be the leader. You want them to hear the language that they're used to? We'll have Iron speak, but the message has to come from you as an outsider. And this is also true in terms of Emunah, and in terms of understanding Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah. Hashem is telling Moshe, it's not enough for you to be a regular Navi. Even as great of a prophet as Aaron was, the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu, has to come from far above. Far above where the Jewish people are. So that they understand that the God who is speaking to them is not the God of status quos. And that's the meaning of Hashem saying, Eyeh Asher Eyeh, I will be what I will be. Meaning I'm bringing to a future. This is not the God of your past. Yes, I am, as he says, the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzchak, and the God of Yaakov. But more importantly, I'm the God of a future that you have not even seen yet. And that's why this phrase is used, even though we don't hear for the rest of Tanakh. This name of Hashem is never used again. So why does Hashem introduce it to Moshe now? Because he wants Moshe to tell the people, and he wants Moshe to understand, Aaron is the Navi of their present situation. And I want you, Moshe, to be the Navi that breaks them out of their present constraints and brings them to a better future. Not as the mistaken English translation, I am what I am, but I will be what I will be, that I will always be there for you. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu is a greater Navi. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu is closer to Hashem. And even though there are so many times where there's this disconnect, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm disconnected from them, Hashem says, that's exactly what I want. There's a beauty. I had a Rosh Yeshiva who wanted me to attend a shir that he was giving. And I knew that the shir would be on a much higher level. And I found it very demoralizing to attend its shir. I didn't understand a word. And he said, I want you to be there anyway for this shir. Because it's important for you to know, this is how I'm understanding what he was saying, that there's a Torah beyond your understanding, beyond where you are now. And it's something that's pulling you towards it. Say, come towards me, because you are capable of so much more. And don't be happy and don't be satisfied with the status quo and with a comfort of where you are holding right now. Because you can be holding, to use that yeshivish expression, on such a higher level. Higher even than Aaron HaKohen. You can be holding on the level to be a member of Klal Yisrael that is brought to greater heights by Moshe Rabbeinu. All right, that's all for now. We'll continue more in the days and weeks to come. Thank you.